taking their place in a long true line of everyday Americans,
helping to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. This is the Constitution Study on the America Out Loud Network with your host, Paul Engel.
Pay the bills, stay out of jail, love the neighbors and have a few good friends. Every day you are everyday Americans.
Hello there, everyday Americans. Let me wish you a early happy Independence Day. That's right, the 4th of July, our Independence Day, is this Sunday. I hope you enjoy it. I hope you celebrate however you celebrate, cookouts, fireworks, or just time with friends and family. But as you prepare and as you celebrate this Independence Day, I have something I want you to think about.
As we celebrate the anniversary of the adoption of the Declaration of Independence, I think it's important that we take some time and perform a self-examination of the independence to which those men pledged their lives, their fortunes, and their sacred honor. If we compare the federal government today to the king we declared independence from then, I think we'll find them much more alike than we would find comfortable. So today, let's redeclare our independence, not from the government in Washington, D.C., but from the men and women who have corrupted the legacy we celebrate today, and from the unjust powers they are exercising and the tyranny they are attempting to impose on the American people. As I studied the Declaration of Independence anew, I was hit by the realization of how many of the grievances that the colonists had with King George could just as easily be made by the citizens of the United States against their governments, both state and federal. While writing and teaching on the subject, I was again and again brought to the understanding that the situation of the states today bears a striking resemblance to that of the colonies in 1776. In many ways, I believe the tyranny lorded over the states is worse than what drove our founding fathers to declare themselves independent. So I decided to go through the Declaration one more time, updating it with the abuses and usurpations currently being exercised by the government of the United States. I call this document the Redeclaration of Independence. Now, to help you, I've highlighted the language that I have changed. The Declaration of the Citizens of the 50 United States of America. When, in the course of human events, it becomes necessary for one people to regain control of their government and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and nature's God entitles them, a decent respect to the opinions of mankind require that they should declare the causes which impel them to this action. No significant change in the abuses of rights and liberty will come from politicians. They have no real incentive to fix what can be used so greatly to their own benefit. No, if change is to come, it will not come from Washington, D.C. Neither is it likely to originate from our state capitals. If a restoration of independence and liberty are to come to America, it will come from the American people. And no, the lowercase u in United States is not a typo. This document is not the viewpoint of the Union called the United States of America. Rather, it is coming from the citizens of the several states who have voluntarily united into a compact between the states. While the distinction between the Union called the United States and the states that have united together is often lost in today's discourse, the freedom and independence of these states are just as vital to our liberty today as it was in 1776. Now, the purpose of this document is not to overthrow the government of the United States, but to return it to its proper place, exercising the limited powers delegated to it by the Constitution that created it. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. That whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or to abolish it, and to institute new government laying its foundation on such principles and organizing its powers in such form as them shall seem most likely to affect their safety and happiness. Prudence, indeed, will dictate that governments long established should not be changed for light and transient causes, and accordingly, all experience has shown that mankind are more disposed to suffer while evils are sufferable than to right themselves by abolishing the forms to which they are accustomed. But when a long train of abuses and usurpations, pursuing inevitably the same object, evidence a design to reduce them under absolute despotism, it is their right, it is their duty to throw off such government and to provide new guards for their future security. Such has been the patient sufferance of these states, and such is now the necessity which constrains them to regain control of the systems of government. The history of the present government in Washington, D.C. is a history of repeated injuries and usurpations, all having in direct object the establishment of an absolute tyranny over these states. To prove this, let facts be submitted to a candid world. There is little to change here. We should recognize that the government in Washington, D.C. has taken the place of King George when it comes to the abuses of power. Also of great importance is the call to regain control of that government rather than to replace it. This is not a call for insurrection, but for a restoration to the proper role of government in a free republic. Now, since no call of this magnitude should be made on a whim, it is important that we, the people, give facts to show the rightness of what we are calling for. The federal courts have refused their assent to laws the most wholesome and necessary for the public good. The federal government has forbidden the states to pass laws of immediate and pressing importance unless suspended in their operation till the assent should be attained, and when so suspended, they have utterly neglected to attend to them. The federal government has refused to pass other laws for the accommodation of large territories held in trust for the people, requiring the people of the new states relinquish the right of control of public territories as a condition of admission to the Union, a right inestimable to them and formidable to tyrants only. The labyrinth of bureaucratic departments and agencies have created confusing, contradictory, and ruinous regulations for the sole purpose of fatiguing the American people into compliance with their measures. Federal courts have dissolved state legislative acts repeatedly for opposing with manly firmness the federal government's invasion on the rights of the people. The president has refused to enforce laws protecting the borders of this nation, the states remaining in the meantime exposed to all the dangers of invasion from without and convulsions within. Congress has refused to adopt immigration laws necessary and sufficient for the needs of the people, leaving in place outdated laws that inhibit the economy and promoting illegal immigration. The president has obstructed the administration of justice by politicizing the appointment of judges, requiring their fidelity to certain opinions rather than the supreme law of the land. The Senate has made judges dependent on their will alone for appointment to their offices and threatened them with impeachment for political reasons. Congress has erected a multitude of new offices and sent hither swarms of officers to harass our people and eat out their substance. The president has kept among us in times of peace standing armies by militarizing our police forces. The president has affected to render the military and police independent of their oath to the supreme law of the land. The president has combined with the Senate to subject us to a jurisdiction foreign to our Constitution and unacknowledged by our laws, giving their assent to the acts of pretended legislation from the United Nations and entering into international agreements without the advice and consent of the Senate. For quartering large bodies of armed law enforcement among us, including arming non-law enforcement departments and agencies. For protecting law enforcement and government officials by mock trial and qualified immunity from punishment for crimes which they should commit on the inhabitants of these states. For cutting off our trade within a state. For imposing taxes on us without our consent and in violation of the Constitution. For depriving us in many cases of the benefit of trial by jury. For transporting us beyond seas to be tried for pretended offenses, for abolishing the free system of United States laws, establishing therein arbitrary government agencies, and enlarging the boundaries of their power so as to render it at once an example and fit instrument for introducing the absolute rule into these states. For effectively taking away our state constitutions, abolishing our most valuable laws, and altering fundamentally the forms of our government. For suspending the actions of our own legislatures and declaring themselves invested with power to legislate for us in all cases whatsoever. The federal government has abdicated government here by declaring us out of its protection and by failing to enforce immigration, naturalization, and constitutional laws. The federal government has plundered our seas, ravaged our coasts, burned our towns, and destroyed the lives of our people through regulations of domestic policy not delegated to the United States by the Constitution. The Congress is at this time transporting large armies to act as mercenaries to complete the works of death already begun by previous executive administrations in an effort to impose their political will and the will of our allies on those we disagree with. The federal government has constrained our fellow citizens to bear arms against their fellow citizens by becoming their executioner of their friends and brethren, or to fall themselves by their hands. The federal government has excited domestic insurrection amongst us by allowing it to go unopposed in cities across the land and has endeavored to bring on the inhabitants of our borders the merciless criminal cartels whose known rule of warfare is an undistinguished destruction of all ages, sexes, and conditions. In every stage of these oppressions, we have petitioned for redress in the most humble terms. Our repeated petitions have been answered only by repeated injury by legislative, executive, and judicial actors alike. A government whose character is thus marked by every act which may be defined a tyrant is unfit to be the ruler of a free people. From time to time, states have pushed back against federal overreach. More often than not, it has been through the federal judiciary. However, that branch of government has shown itself to be just as susceptible to overreach as the rest of the federal government. Human nature being what it is, we should not be surprised that those who seek power in government work to maintain and expand it. Nor have we been wanting in attentions to our brethren who work for the government in Washington, D.C. We have warned them from time to time of attempts by their legislature to extend an unwarrantable jurisdiction over us. We have reminded them of the circumstances of our settlement here and the conditions by which we entered the Union. We have appealed to their native justice and magnanimity, and we have conjured them by the ties of our common kindred to disavow these usurpations, which would inevitably interrupt our connections and correspondence. They, too, have been deaf to the voice of justice and consanguinity. We must therefore acquiesce in the necessity which declares our sovereignty and hold them as we hold the rest of mankind, enemies in war, in peace, friends. Few Americans seem to realize that the states created the federal government, not the other way around. Furthermore, as the parties to the Constitution that created the federal government, the states established the limit on its power. Even the governments of the several states do not realize that legally they are the masters of the federal government, not its servants. We, therefore, the representatives of the United States of America, appealing to the Supreme Judge of the world for the rectitude of our intentions, do, in the name and by the authority of the good people of these states, solemnly publish and declare that these United States are, and of right ought to be, free, independent, and sovereign states, that they are the creator of the United States and its government, and that as parties to the compact of the Constitution of the United States, they have full power to oversee their creation, establish the boundaries of its power by the consent of their citizens, and enact all of the powers of a state not delegated to the United States nor prohibited by the Constitution to the states. And for the support of this declaration, with a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. As the parties to the Constitution, the states are not only free, but sovereign. The states have the full and legitimate power to oversee the government of the United States. Furthermore, they have the responsibility to do so. It is just as much the responsibility of states to protect the rights of their citizens as that of the federal government. Our founding fathers had to fight a war to overturn their government and regain their rights. Thankfully, we do not need to take such drastic actions. However, if we do not regain control of our governments at all levels, while we still can, we will doom our children either to servitude or to war. On this Independence Day, will you choose to redeclare that our states are free and sovereign, or will you leave your children to fight for the rights you are unwilling to fight for?
So there you have it, what I'm calling the Redeclaration of Independence. Independence from the tyranny of those who are violating their oath of office, who are usurping the supreme law of the land, who are taking to themselves powers not delegated to them by the Constitution. A reassertion of the fact that we, the people, ordained and established this Constitution, that we empowered the states to create the federal government and to give it limited powers and to legally restrain them to those powers. This is not insurrection. This is not nullification. This is not anarchy. This is applying the supreme law of the land the way it is written, not the way it is being abused. So I hope as you prepare for this Independence Day, you'll give this a consideration. I'm not saying you have to agree with the whole thing, but I'm hoping it'll make you think. Think about the government in Washington. Think about the government in your state. And ask yourself, are they living by the supreme law that we have established? Now, as you're thinking about Independence Day, I want you to think about something else. See, now, you may have heard that Congress recently passed legislation recognizing Juneteenth as a federal holiday. Well, I heard some rather disturbing reports, so I did a little bit of investigation for myself, and I actually found the legislation that Congress passed establishing. Now, this has been passed by Congress and signed by the president. This started as Senate Bill 475, and it reads, to amend Title V, United States Code, to designate Juneteenth National Independence Day as a legal public holiday. That's right. The government in Washington, D.C. just changed Independence Day from July 4th to June 19th. Calling it June 19th National Independence. What do you think about that? Talk about rewriting history. Talk about whitewashing the past. The act goes on, be it enacted by the Senate and House of Representatives of the United States of America in Congress assembled, with a note, Juneteenth National Independence Day Act 5, USC 101. Don't know why they stuck that in there. This act may be cited as the Juneteenth National Independence Day Act. And it says, Section 6103A of Title V, United States Code, is amended by inserting, after the item related to Memorial Day, the following. Juneteenth, National Independence Day, June 19th. Now, it was Santayana, I believe, who said, those who refuse to learn from history are doomed to repeat it. Now, Independence Day has a rather interesting history. It has an interesting provenance. For those of you who don't know, the actual day the American colonies declared independence was not July 4th. It was July 2nd. See, on June 7th, 1776, Richard Henry Lee proposed what's known as the Lee Resolution. And the first part of the Lee Resolution was that we declare independence, that these colonies are and of right ought to be free and independent states. Now, politicians being politicians, they kind of wanted to get some feedback on that, but they started drafting the Declaration of Independence. This was done by the Committee of Five, most of the writing was done by Thomas Jefferson. Now, on July 2nd, 1776, the Continental Congress adopted the first part of the Lee Resolution. In other words, that these colonies are and of right ought to be free and independent states. They then started debating the Declaration. And as the Declaration says, you don't make a move like this for simple reasons. And if you're going to make a move like this, you really should tell the world why you're doing that. On July 4th, they adopted the Declaration of Independence. By the way, only two people signed the Declaration on that day. John Hancock was president of the Congress at the time, and the secretary, and I can't remember his name off the top of my head. Most of the signatures you see on the Declaration of Independence weren't signed until August. But from 1776 to 2021, Americans' Independence Day has been the 4th of July, the day that we adopted this declaration that we are free and independent states. Now, we have Juneteenth. Now, what is Juneteenth? Juneteenth is the day when federal troops arrived in Galveston, Texas, to take control of the state to ensure that the slaves were freed. Juneteenth is I don't have a problem with Juneteenth. It's a day remembering when a historical event that was meant to free slaves. I have no problem with Juneteenth. I have a problem with Juneteenth being called National Independence Day because it wasn't the independence of the nation. Texas didn't declare itself independent from government. No state declared itself independent on June 19th. It ensured that those who had been enslaved were freed. You want to call it Juneteenth, National Slave Deliverance Day, Emancipation Day, Freedom Day. But no, now it's considered National Independence Day. I wonder where this idea that independence from slavery is when the nation is when the nation really became independent. It wasn't independent for the first 90 some odd years from the point when we said, no, we are no longer British colonies, until the date that we finally said, no, slavery will not be allowed here. This is a rewriting. This is an intentional misrepresentation of history. Because now your children and your children's children will be taught in schools that we didn't become independent in 1776. We became independent in 1865. That we weren't truly independent because, well, you know, we still had slavery. And as the 1619 Project states, everything is slavery. The whole country was built on slavery. It's a lie. The writers even admitted it's a rewriting of history. But we're not being taught that in schools. So that truth is going to disappear into the myth of Juneteenth. I wonder if this has anything to do with the push for critical race theory, the idea that everything is racist. Everything is racist. This is the further destruction of our history. And since we refuse to learn from our history, we are doomed to repeat it, and we are dooming our children and their children and future generations to repeat the mistakes that we've already made because we refuse to learn from our history. This, to me, is a sad development, not the recognition of Juneteenth. As I said, I have no problem with recognizing an event to force slavery. I mean, I agree. You want to talk about the Emancipation Proclamation, which wasn't really a legal document. You want to talk about the ratification of the 13th Amendment, Juneteenth, call those, you know, holidays, anti-slavery holidays. That's great. But to call Juneteenth Independence Day belittles what our founding fathers have done. It belittles the freedom and liberty that brought the opportunity for Juneteenth. Juneteenth would not have happened if 1776 had not happened. If we had not declared independence, we would not have had the opportunity for Juneteenth. What most people don't know is the main reason many of the colonies still had slavery in 1776 was not because they wanted it. Even Virginia, the capital of the future Confederacy, even Virginia voted to end the slave trade, and it was overturned by the King of England. When you read the Declaration of Independence and they talk about laws that they passed that were overturned, many of those laws had to do with slavery. That was one of the reasons why we declared independence. And oh, by the way, if you look at the list of 27 grievances, it comes well before taxation without representation. See, this is the type of stuff I love to get into and I love teaching people. It's one of the reasons why I'm going on this Knowing Your Rights tour, why I'm traveling the country teaching people about their rights and their ability to learn about their Constitution, how to live free, how to defend their rights, how to assert their rights, how to recognize when they're being lied to. Now, if you want to find out more, go to constitutionstudy.com/tour. You can find out where I'm going to be. You can ask me to come to your town. I would love to come to your town and teach about this. I'd love to come to your town, just sit down with a bunch of people and talk about this. So again, find out more at constitutionstudy.com/tour. And as always, if you have any questions or anything, you can just follow up with me on that website. I am looking forward to it. Now, before I head off to break, I want to remind you about Healthy Cell. I said, I've told you this before. I remember as a kid, my mother used to take a serious handful of vitamins every morning. And you know, vitamins have become more and more important, more and more as we eat processed foods. We're not getting the vitamins and nutrients that we used to get from our food. So we take these vitamins. And I don't know about you, but the idea of swallowing a handful of vitamins isn't a pleasant thought. So along comes Healthy Cell. They have actually, since the first time since the 1930s, really reinvented the vitamin. They work on a cellular level. They boost your immune system, help you sleep better, help you focus, basically help you live a healthier lifestyle, all without swallowing pills. It's a simple, travel-friendly gel technology. You can either open the packet and drink it directly, or you can mix it into a drink. And since you're an America Out Loud listener, you can go to healthycell.com/outloud and get 20% off your first order. So give it a try. I think you'll like it. I know I do, and my family does. And I'll be right back after this short break.
Because of COVID-19, the average American worries about their immune health 4 times a day. That's 112 times per year. To minimize the worries, leading nutritional supplement company, Healthy Cell, created Immune Super Boost, an immune supplement that contains 15 full doses of science-backed nutrients like vitamin C, zinc, elderberry, and echinacea, all in a one-a-day pill-free gel pack. It tastes great, is convenient on the go, and it's more natural too, without chemical binders, fillers, and coatings. Supporting a strong and resilient immune system can be simple. Go to HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off your first order of Immune Super Boost. That's HealthyCell.com, HealthyCell, and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
As we celebrate our 5-year anniversary, America Out Loud has expanded its mission through a newly designed website with a host of new contributors, all carrying a vibrant message of hope and survival for this country we love. AmericaOutLoud.com. Together, we'll secure the future for generations to come.
Welcome back, everyday Americans. You've rejoined the Constitution Study, and we're talking Independence Day. I know it's a couple of days early, but I'm not on this Sunday. I hope you have great plans to celebrate. I know I do. I have. I love it. When I moved from New York to Tennessee, there are several things that were different. But to me, my personal favorite is the fact that I buy my fireworks from my local volunteer fire department. I mean, for me, this is very Fahrenheit 451, right? You go to the fire department to get things that you can set on fire. I love it. It's a fundraiser. I use it. We have a volunteer fire department where I live, and I use it. I go there every year. I always buy fireworks from them for two reasons. One is it supports local fire department, and I always enjoy doing that. I love giving back to them. I love the fact that I can pick up the phone and they show up. I love supporting them. I never want to have to call them. But the other reason is I like fireworks. And the idea of buying fireworks from a fire department, just, I don't know, it's my idea of fun. So I hope whatever you have planned for your Independence Day celebration, I hope you enjoy it. I hope you have a good time. And I hope you spend a little bit of time thinking and remembering the freedoms and liberty that were fought for, the blood that was spilled, to help you, so that you could live free. And then look at America today and wonder, what happened? Now, I'm sure most of you heard about this. Tucker Carlson is claiming that the National Security Agency is spying on him. Now, I'm not going to get into the NSA and the boundaries of NSA. I mean, again, you have a right to be secure in your persons, houses, papers, and effects from unreasonable search and seizure. That should include, I believe, a lot of other information than the courts recognize. But clearly, the law says that before the government goes searching your records, your information, they go spying on you, they need a warrant. And that warrant has to meet certain criteria. And if you're looking at this and saying, well, now, from what I've read so far, Tucker Carlson is claiming he was contacted by a whistleblower claiming that he was being spied on. And as evidence, he read to Mr. Carlson the contents of private emails and texts. Things, not stuff that's been published, not stuff that's public, private texts and emails. So the logic, the most logical being the way, you know, Occam's razor, the simplest explanation is the NSA has been collecting, snooping, spying, and searching Mr. Carlson's emails. This is a very serious charge. Now, the NSA, from what I've read, hasn't really said they weren't spying. They just said he isn't an intelligence target. That's a little bit of linguistic ledger domain, shall we say. But it should disturb all of you. The Patriot Act is a very, very bad piece of legislation. It violated the Fourth Amendment in many, many, many ways. And it opened this idea that in order to keep us safe, the government can violate your rights because they're doing it for a good reason. It wasn't the first time this was done, but it's certainly one of the most invasive times. So Mr. Carlson has filed a FOIA request to seek information. Now, what's interesting is, and there's a lot of people talking and stuff, you know what I'm waiting to hear? If the NSA has gathered this information, I want to hear who at the NSA authorized it and who made it happen. Because I want to see them prosecuted under Title 18, United States Code, Section 242. It is a federal crime to deny someone a right protected by the Constitution. Mr. Carlson has a right to be secure in his persons, houses, papers, and effects from unreasonable searches and seizures. This was the definition of an unreasonable search. And whether you believe it was done for political reasons or for, who knows, for whatever reason you think, it's an unreasonable search. And the people who authorized it and the people who made it happen have broken the law. They should be charged. They should be tried. And if found guilty, they should be punished. Now, remember what I was talking about with the Redeclaration of Independence, that the president and by the courts as well have rendered the military and police independent of their oath to the supreme law of the land, that they've established these processes, this concept of qualified immunity to allow people to break the law and avoid punishment. This is one of the reasons why our founding fathers declared independence, and it should be one of the reasons why we declare independence from the tyranny that currently exists in Washington. I mean, look at how many people are disturbed by the invasion of privacy that we have with big tech companies like Apple and Google and Facebook and Twitter. Well, here you have the federal government, apparently behind closed doors, possibly spying on a member of the media. Now, if they can get away with spying on somebody who is seen by millions of people every night, what's to stop them from spying on you? Oh, they're not going to spy on me. I'm just a little fish. Yeah. Does anybody remember a little Martin Niemöller poem? First they came for the socialists, and I did not speak out because I was not a socialist. Then they came for the trade unionists, and I did not speak out because I was not a trade unionist. Then they came for the Jews, and I did not speak out because I was not a Jew. Then they came for me, and there was no one left to speak for me. Well, by that same logic, what do we have? First, they came for the political opposition. I did not speak out because, well, I wasn't of that political party. Then they came for the conservative news media, but I did not speak out because I was not part of the conservative news media. Then they came for the patriot, and I did not speak out because, let's face it, I'm not really a patriot. Then they came for me, and there was no one left to defend me. This should be disturbing to every American. The idea that those in government thought it was okay to spy, potentially, on an American citizen without a warrant. I don't care why they thought it was justified. That is immaterial. Ignorance is not material, and, well, the ends justify the means is not material. If these people are collecting data, if they are searching data on American citizens, on anybody within American territory without a warrant, they are committing a crime and need to be prosecuted. And if they are convicted, they need to spend that 1 year in jail. It was attributed to Jefferson that says, you know, when the people feel the government, there is tyranny. When the government fears the people, there is liberty. Well, right now, the American people fear their government. We are living under that tyranny. And this is just another example. If it's true. I'm still waiting for the proof. The evidence so far seems pretty good, but I'd like a bit more. But we certainly don't have the government fearing us, do we? It doesn't appear that anybody in the NSA is really afraid of what the American people are going to do if they find out that they've been spied on by a government agency. Now, I don't know why. If this is true, I don't know why. I have my suspicions as to why an executive agency would spy on a newscaster for Fox News. Again, I want to see the facts. I want to see the data. And then I want to see the guilty. I want to see those who appear to have done this charged and prosecuted. Because this is not the first time. I've already talked about how the IRS says that biblical teaching is Republican. So anybody who teaches from the Bible is basically a Republican activist and therefore not eligible for tax-exempt status. We've already seen the IRS in the past target conservative and Tea Party groups, denying them their tax-exempt status. We've already seen government going in and bullying states to implement insane bathroom laws that endanger our wives and our daughters for political reasons. We've already seen a president of the United States spend 4 years harassed and heckled by lies about his collusion. And those lies went on and on and on, in part because the government knew the media wasn't going to say anything about it, wasn't going to hold them accountable, that the people wouldn't hold them accountable. Now imagine it's not the president of the United States. It's not Tucker Carlson. It's not someone with a name and an audience. Imagine it's you. Imagine you are now the target of a government probe because of your beliefs. Oh, that would thing never happen? Well, guess what? The House just passed a resolution to create a select committee to probe, quote unquote, probe the January 6th Capitol breach. Now, was there a breach of the Capitol on January 6th? Yeah, you could call it that. There was some damage done, yes. The only people killed were done by Capitol Police. Yes, a member of the Capitol Police died, but not from the acts of the people who were in the Capitol. So the only people that have taken life in this event were the government. And now Nancy Pelosi wants a probe into a few hundred people that entered the Capitol, many of which apparently with the permission of Capitol Police. There's video out there evidence of that. Interesting, though, she doesn't seem at all concerned with the attacks on Washington by BLM last year. She doesn't see any problem with the attacks on federal buildings and federal property, the firebombing and the damage to federal property in Seattle and in Portland and in other cities across the country. No, no, no. The only one she cares about is the breach of the Capitol on January 6th. Why could that be? Now, I'm not a mind reader. I'm not a psychiatrist. I don't play one on TV. But I can see only one cognizant piece of information that distinguishes what happened on January 6th with what's been going on for over a year in many of these cities. Political party. a political party. Let's face it, BLM, Antifa, these are democratically aligned groups. BLM is created by avowed Marxists. Antifa is seeking Marxist, they call themselves anti-fascists. They are fascists. You can call yourself whatever you want, but their actions are fascist. They are intimidating people. They are damaging cities. They are destroying property. They are wounding and hurting people and killing people. And that doesn't raise any concern in the U.S. House. But when a group of people look at what happened on Election Day 2020, when they looked at the illegitimate votes cast for president by states that illegally appointed presidential electors, and a few of them showed up and entered the Capitol to make their opinion known, they must be probed. Don't think they'll not come after you? What if you were there on January 6th? Maybe you were outside. Maybe you didn't break a single law, but you see, you were there questioning an election that had many fraudulent votes cast. The presidential elector votes from Georgia, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, and Michigan were all fraudulently cast. See, the Constitution says that the manner of choosing electors is to be done by the legislature of the state. Only the legislature of the state. So when a court changes the rules, those presidential electors are not validly appointed. When a member of the executive branch changes the rules, those presidential electors are not legally appointed. Yet they were allowed to cast votes. Now, I may disagree with how some of these people did it. Some of the stuff they did, I don't agree with. But to question the validity of an election where you've got video and paper evidence of malfeasance is not un-American. It is 100% American. You cannot have a republic without accurate representation, and you cannot have accurate representation without an accurate election, and you cannot have an accurate election when people who are legally forbidden from voting are allowed to vote. This is a political attack squad. This is party politics, pure and simple. I have yet to see anybody give me any reasonable explanation as to why Nancy Pelosi and the Democrats are fixated on a minor violation of trespass law while ignoring the destruction of life, liberty, and property in cities around the nation and in Washington, D.C. itself. Tell me if this does not sound like what's going on today. The alternate domination of one faction over another, sharpened by the spirit of revenge natural to party dissension, which in different age and countries has perpetuated the most hard enormities, is itself a frightful despotism. This is from George Washington in his farewell address in 1796. And what do we have? We have one political party, one political faction, that now has power over the other. In other words, the Democrats control the House. They have a tie in the Senate, and they own the tiebreaker. So you have one political faction with domination over another. We see spirit of revenge natural to the parties coming out. And what do you have? See, here's what I find interesting. No one entered a probe when politicians spent 4 years claiming that President Trump was illegitimate, that he didn't actually win the election, when they had absolutely no evidence of the fact. That was fine. You want to call President Trump an illegitimate president. You want to call President Bush an illegitimate president. That's fine. You question a Democratic win and you get probed. Does that sound like freedom and liberty? Does that sound like a free republic? Does that sound like the land of the free? Washington went on, the disorders and miseries which result gradually incline the minds of men to seek security and repose in the absolute power of an individual, and sooner or later, the chief of some prevailing faction, more able or more fortunate than his counterparts, turns this disposition to the purposes of his own elevation and the ruins of public liberty. Why do you think people so flocked to Donald Trump? See, they saw what was happening, and they inclined their minds and said, we must do something. We must seek our own security. We'll elect Trump. He'll fix it. Then you have this the other side, right? Now it's like, oh my God, Trump is going to ruin everything. We'll elect Biden. He'll fix it. We can't have someone other than Nancy Pelosi as the speaker. Who cares what atrocities she's committed? We need her for our security. We have turned over our liberty to political parties. And surprise, surprise, those political parties are using their power to subjugate us. Speaking of January 6th, have you seen the picture of the guy with his foot on Nancy Pelosi's desk? The gentleman's name is Richard Barnett. He's a retired Arkansas firefighter. And let's start with one thing. Ms. Pelosi is an employee of the American people. She is not queen. She's an employee. So while what this man did was irreverent, he was simply expressing his opinion to an employee of the people. Now, this has led to some very interesting things. He spent 4 months in jail for what he did. Not because he was convicted of a crime. No, no, no. This is all before the trial. See, he turned himself into federal law enforcement, and he expected to be maybe await his trial at home, right? He'd be restricted home, maybe house arrest, we would tend to call it, which is exactly what he got. Well, until a U.S. attorney and a U.S. chief district judge changed their minds. They put Barnett in jail in the District of Columbia pending trial. On 7 charges of, if he's convicted of all of them, results in nearly $400,000 in fines. Could put him in prison for more than a decade. So as a result, Mr. Barnett was kept locked up. He was jailed for what he did. When everybody else, you've got people being bailed out for firebombing businesses. They are getting bailed out. But no, no, no. You go against a Democrat. You do something that pisses off the Democrats. You go to jail. Well, I'm glad to see that Mr. Barnett has an attorney and that they are suing the United States of America. Personally, I'm very curious how that. I plan on following this up, so keep in touch. I will be keeping an eye on this case because it's a very interesting case. The Eighth Amendment says that excessive bail should not be required. Well, I certainly think locking someone else for a nonviolent crime, the allegation of a nonviolent crime, is an excessive form of punishment. While we're at it, Senator Wyden of Oregon has unveiled a bill to protect journalist data from government subpoenas. Now, why? Well, there's been news that the Justice Department during the Trump administration obtained records of lawmakers and journalists during a probe into leaks, confidential information leaks. By the way, if you think this is new, no, it was done during the Obama administration, probably the Bush administration, the Clinton administration. But, okay, here's my question. Why only journalists? Why does the Fourth Amendment protection against unreasonable search only apply to journalists? That's what I want to know. Mr. Wyden, what about your constituents? What about the citizens of Oregon that you claim to represent? Don't they deserve the same protections that a journalist does? And a government subpoena. You know what? A government subpoena is not a warrant. Why, Mr. Wyden? Could it be that we have a two-tiered justice system? No, we don't have a justice. We have justice system. And we have Senate Democrats more than willing to protect their allies in the media, but unwilling to protect the rights of everyday citizens. Tell me that we don't need a redeclaration of our independence from this tyranny. Tell me. How do we fix this? Well, we start by recognizing what is going on around us. Oh, records can, you know, if you're a journalist, your records can be protected from infringement, you know, from searching. But if you're just Tom, Dick, or Mary, if you happen to be a member of the wrong group, if you happen to show up at the wrong protest, all it takes is the government to say, gimme, and they want all your data. And the courts have said, sure, go ahead. So what are we to do? Well, remember, the federal government was created by the Constitution, which was created by the states, which were created by the people. So we need the states to do their job, to stand up as the first line of defense against an out of control, tyrannical federal government. One example, I just saw an article where Texas has joined a multi-state coalition seeking to overturn California's assault weapons ban. I've talked about this before. A district court has found the assault weapons ban unconstitutional. That went to the Ninth Circuit. The last I've heard, a three-judge panel has overturned that judge, but now it's being heard by the full panel. It's going to go to the Supreme Court. But what do we have? We have states. It is a multi-state coalition. We have multiple states standing up and saying, wait a second, what one of our compatriots, what one of the states is doing is a violation of the compact. It is a violation. We have an interstate agreement, the Constitution. We set rules and boundaries. One of those rules is the right to keep and bear arms. The right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. This assault weapons ban is being infringed. And now states are standing up. Why? Because the federal government has failed. I got one judge that's standing up for the Constitution. I got a dozen judges that seem not to care. Well, we'll see. So the Attorney General of Texas has joined 21 other states. Yes, thank you very much. That's the way this should happen. If the states turn around and say, no, this is a violation. They are the rightful arbiters of what the Constitution says, not the Supreme Court. Remember the 10th Amendment, a power not delegated to the United States remains with the states. The Constitution never delegated to the United States the authority to interpret the Constitution. Oh, they may act within their interpretation, but ultimately it's the states that retain the power to say what the Constitution means. Why? Talk to a lawyer about contract law. Who determines what the contract means? The members of the contract. That's basically what the Constitution is. It's a compact. It's an interstate compact. A contract between sovereign beings. You want protection? Get control of your state. Get your state to defend you, both against the federal government and the infringements of other states. Now, why am I doing this? Besides the fact that it's the anniversary of the signing of the Declaration of Independence, or the ratification, the adoption of the Declaration. Why? Why do I say we need to redeclare our independence? Well, Debbie D'Souza has written a book, Knowing the Signs of Socialism. See, now, she grew up in a socialist country. She was born in Venezuela. She knows socialism up close and personal. And the scary part is she looks at what's going on in this country and says, hey guys, hey ladies, socialism is coming to town and you're not going to like what happens. It's happening because we have allowed our governments to divorce themselves from their responsibility to the American people. Now, if you want to read the book, I don't know. I don't care. I don't know Ms. D'Souza. I'd love to talk with Ms. D'Souza, get some more details about it. But when someone who has lived under socialism and tyranny comes to me and says, what you're doing here is not only as bad, in many ways, it's worse than what happened in Venezuela, then I am worried. And the only way this changes is if something gets the American people to stand up and do something about it. Now, do I think my Declaration of Independence is going to get the American people to stand up? Maybe a few. But my job is not to fix the country. My job is to educate you so that you and I and our neighbors can help secure our future. That's why I redeclare independence. Find out more on my website, constitutionstudy.com. Hey, become a Constitution Scholar. Go to constitutionscholars.com, sign up for your free account, learn more about how you can become a Constitutional Scholar. You can find out more about this show. You can get all my latest podcasts. Go to americaoutloud.com and look under shows. You'll find the Constitution Study. Maybe check out one of the other great programs that are available on America Out Loud. But be in the know. Knowledge is power if it's used properly. Let's help gain that knowledge. Let's learn how to use it properly. Let's share that knowledge with others. And let America once again be the land of the free and the home of the brave.
Pay the bills, stay out of jail, love the neighbors, and have a few good friends.